And that's just 24,000 people in this town. That's not counting Gretna. That's not counting Marrero. That's not counting Belchase. I mean, don't you think? Let me say this, because I was thinking, I know somebody's going to say it. Well, we live in a time, they don't want the Bible. It's Laodicea. They don't want the truth. Nobody's going to. I understand that. I understand the times we live in. I understand. But don't you think God is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think? Don't you think God can send us out of 24,000 people in this town, in this city? Don't you think God can send us one family? A couple young people? And 24,000 people? I mean, I'm not talking about Belchase and Marrero and Avondale and Wagamon and all of that. Don't you think God is still able to do something? We cannot be defeated. I know the condition of the world. I know the spiritual condition. But God is still able to build his church and see people saved and see people encouraged in the Lord. So don't be discouraged about what you see. Be encouraged that God is able and nothing is too hard for God. So be in prayer that the Lord will grant our prayer request in that regard, and he knows our desires there. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. I'll tell you a joke real quick so we can have a little laugh, because the sermon's not going to be funny. No, I'm joking. Okay, so there were four people, and I'll name them for you. There was Brother Mike, there was Brother Alfred, there was Brother Craig, and there was Brother Dennis. And each year they went on this hunting trip in Colorado or Montana, wherever it was, and they would get a cabin for a week, and they would go elk hunting. They did this for years. It was a tradition. But the only problem with the cabin was it only had two bedrooms, and Brother Alfred was a really bad snorer. He's been like that for years. And so what they've decided to do, they decided to alternate nights on which person would sleep in the same bunk room with Brother Alfred, so they can, you know, each experience his snoring at night. So the first night, Brother Mike slept in the same dorm room, the same bunk room as Brother Alfred, and he slept. And the next morning, he comes down to the kitchen where they were to eat breakfast, and Brother Craig and Brother Dennis saw Brother Mike coming down, and he's dragging, he's still halfway sleeping, and he's looks aggravated. And they said, "Well, how'd you sleep last night? How was Brother Alfred?" He goes, "Oh, he was horrible. I got about an hour or two of sleep. He just sounded like a helicopter crashing. It was just cutting down trees. The snoring was just unbelievable. I just couldn't hardly sleep. I'm glad tonight I don't have to sleep in the same room with him again. Just no sleep." And so move on to the next night, and it's Brother Craig's night. Brother Craig slept in the room with Brother Alfred. It's time for breakfast. He came down an hour late, and he's dragging his wagon. And, "What's going on, Brother Craig? How'd you sleep?" "Man, it was bad. It was like motorbikes. It was horrible. He just didn't stop snoring. I probably got 30 minutes of sleep all night. It's miserable. I need to go back to sleep." Brother Alfred, he needs to get that snoring under control. So the next night, it was Brother Todd's night to sleep in the room with Brother Alfred. And Brother Todd slept in a room. He come down the stairs the next morning, and he's whistling, and he's all happy, and he's smiling, and he's grinning ear to ear, and he's all happy. Like, Brother Craig and Brother Mike's like, "What's going on? You slept in the same room with Brother Alfred. How'd you sleep?" He goes, "Man, I slept 8 hours. I slept like a baby." And they go, "What? How'd you sleep with Brother Alfred snoring?" He goes, "Well, this is what I did before I went to sleep. I went over there and I tucked him in. I kissed him on the cheek. And I said, 'Hope you have a good night.' And he stayed up all night watching me sleep." So, all right. I don't know if that's a true story or not, but it sounds like a good method. Amen. He had one eye open, and Brother Todd got to sleep real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, one verse for time's sake this morning. I got a 10-minute message. Amen. But a 45-minute introduction. No, joke. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. And read one verse here. And we'll go to other places in the scriptures. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Brother Mike, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the message, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. I'm going a little different direction this morning. Generally, we'd be in Acts chapter 20. There's still a few more passages that I would like to expound on in Acts chapter 20. But in my daily Bible reading earlier this week, I'm reading through the book of Hebrews as one of the places in the New Testament. And I came upon this verse. Verse number 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And as I read that verse, I began to think of some of Paul's other writings. I believe Paul was the writer of Hebrews there. And I began to think of some of Paul's other writings that correlates with this exact same passage. And I began to think about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, "Therefore God is not unrighteous to forget your work." Now that can preach there that we have a righteous God. We have a just God. We have a holy God. He's not an unrighteous God. But in the context, what the verse is implying is that God is not unrighteous to forget something, that he sees these individuals, believers, what they were engaged in, what they were involved in. And look what he says, what that is there. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work," notice, "and labor of love." Amen. The Christian life should be a life of work. It should be a life of labor. We don't work to get saved, but like one preacher said, we work because we're saved. The Christian life just begins when you and I receive Jesus Christ. Now it's really time to go to work. It's time to work for the Lord. It's time to get involved. It's time to get plugged in. The Christian life isn't a spectator sport where we sit on the sidelines and view others working. Many hands in a church make light work. The ministry's work, the ministry's labor. And Paul said that God is not unrighteous, look, to forget your work and labor of love. But notice what he says, "which ye have showed toward his name." So this work and this labor, what they were involved in, what they were doing, was done towards the name of God. It was done towards the name of the Lord. And notice what he says. He says, "and that ye have ministered to the saints." And do minister. We know the saints are the saved. We know the saints are the believers. We know the saints are the ones who are in Christ. Now, not all saints act saintly, but if you're saved, you're a saint. You're not referred to in the scriptures as a sinner, although Paul says, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." Every time he writes to a church, he addresses them as the saints in Christ Jesus. So we see that Paul said that God is not going to forget this thing that you do towards his name, and that is ministering to the saints and do minister. So it was something that they have done. They were ministering in the past, but they continued to minister. They were continuing to minister to the saints. Now oftentimes, maybe you don't, but oftentimes when I think of ministry or when I hear people speak of ministry, oftentimes they refer to ministry and it's only limited to the teaching and preaching capacity of individuals. Well, he's in the ministry, he teaches. Or he's in the ministry, he's a missionary to China. Or he's in the ministry, he's a Sunday school teacher. He's in the ministry, he's a pastor, he's an evangelist. And there's all kinds of other classifications that individuals will fall in that are categorized, he's a minister or he's in the ministry, Sunday school teacher, or VBS worker, or a water worker. But notice something very profound here. None of those are listed in the passage. Notice the minister. Notice the ministry. He says there, "and that ye have ministered to the saints." Ye have ministered to the saints. And to ministry. We need to have this, we don't need to have this idea that only certain people are in the ministry or only certain Christians can minister. Listen, ministering is to help, is to give aid, is to be a blessing, is to be an encouragement to. And anybody in a local church, anybody that is saved can be in the ministry of ministering to the saints. What a great ministry. There's no college degree that you have to have, or there's no seminary education that you have to have, or any formal training. Do you realize as a believer that you can be involved in ministering to the saints without this list of qualifications? You know, there's people in this church, and I'm speaking here, there's people in this church that could use some help. Would you agree? They might need something around their house, or they might need something, you know, done to their vehicle. They may have some type of problem they have with their plumbing or in their yard or anything. But Paul said that God is not unrighteous to forget their work and their labor of love. Why? Because these saints were ministering to one another. They were helping. They were caring. They were giving aid. And what a blessing that if you are involved in ministering to God's people, God does not forget it. The ministry is not just about me. The minister is not just about you. The ministry is about ministering to others, helping, and being a blessing and caring for one another. And I thank God that although we might not know or we might not recognize, God will not forget our work and when we minister to the saints. Look what he says there at the end of the verse. He says, "And that ye have ministered to the saints and do ministry." He says, "You showed your work and labor of love." You know what was evident in the life of these individuals? Their love. Their love towards one another. Their work, their labor, their commitment. Listen, if you're going to minister to people and you're going to help people and you want to be an encouragement to people and give aid to people and care for individuals in the church and saints in the church, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take work. It's going to take labor. It's going to take care and time, right? We're all busy, aren't we? We've got so much going on. We've got to go here, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that. We're all busy. But when is the last time you've ministered to a saint? When is the last time you gave aid to someone? You know, most people don't like asking for help. I don't know. Maybe it's just men. Men don't like asking for help. I generally don't like asking for help. But you know what that might be? That might be pride. Might be pride. You know, there's people that need help. I'm sure there's people that need help right now in this church. But you know what? They don't want to ask for help. People are like that. People are funny. I just don't want to ask. I don't want to bother nobody. My grandma used to tell me that. I just don't want to bother anybody. I know people are busy. But you know what? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Some people might not tell you I need help, but you and I can be a blessing and an aid and show care and concern and love for one another. We say, "Hey, is there anything I can help you with? Is there any way? Is there anything that you need? Is there anything that I can give you aid to? How can I be a blessing? How can I be an encouragement to you?" He said they minister to the saints. What a great ministry. What an overlooked ministry. What a neglected ministry to see saints ministering to one another, helping one another. You know, it's a shame when lost people treat each other better than saved people. It is. There's lost people that get along better than Christians. They're more caring. They're more concerning. And you and I ought to be the most loving, compassionate, caring, kind individuals on the face of the earth. But yet sometimes Christians can't even get along with each other. So we're not going to minister to each other because why? I don't like him. She rubbed me the wrong way. You heard what he said. You saw what he did. Paul said, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name." I realize how impactful that is. Ministering to saints, ministering to God's people. It's not just to the people. It's doing it towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Let everything you do, do it what? As unto the Lord." Paul said that God will not forget your labor. God will not forget your work. How that you've helped these saints. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 15 when you're there. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, we'll just read verse 15 and verse 16. I want you to notice the similarities this has with Hebrews chapter 6. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to those who are in Christ. He's writing to the saved. Verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," and notice, "and love unto" what? "All the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You know what Paul said about these group of believers here at Ephesus? He said, "Since I heard of it." Now that's pretty astounding in itself, that Paul heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You would agree that faith is important. We're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God." And when we think of great men and great women of the Christian faith in the Bible and throughout church history, we think of individuals who had great faith. Jesus Christ talked about faith often. The apostle says, "Increase our faith." Faith is imperative in the Christian life. It's rudimentary. It's fundamental. It's the foundation of every believer's life. You and I ought to not only be saved by faith, but we ought to walk by faith, amen, and not by sight. We ought to live by faith. We have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Paul said, "I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." He knew they were saved. He knew they were born again. He knew they trusted Christ. But look what he says at the end of that verse. He said, "And love unto all the saints." He was ecstatic that their faith was strong, that their faith was sound, that their faith was secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it wasn't misplaced faith. They had their faith in the right man, amen, Jesus Christ. They had their faith in the Son of God. They had their faith in the gospel. But he said, "Listen, and your love unto" what? "All the saints." Now that must have been a church about four. How can you love all the saints? Some of the saints are hard to love. Some of the saints seem unlovable. I'll be honest with you. We're not pulling any punches here. Some Christians are hard to love and hard to get along with and hard to tolerate and hard to show charity to and hard to show kindness to. But he said, "You loved all the saints." What a blessing. You know what you and I do? We love the people who love us. We love the people who are easy to love. We love the people who what? Agree with us. Now, when somebody crosses us or disagrees with us or doesn't do something the way we think they should do it, amen? Guess what? I just don't love them as much. That's how Christians are. That's human nature. We naturally gravitate and show care and concern to a few select people within a church. I've yet to see it in a congregation, maybe there is, where the love and the compassion and the care and the aid and the being a blessing and giving a help is widespread throughout the entire congregation with no limitations. And you know what God says? That our love should have no respect of persons. Amen. We don't just pick and choose who we love. We shouldn't. He says their love was unto all the saints. Not just the ones with money, not just the ones with good talents, not just the ones they agreed with. It was widespread. It wasn't partial. It wasn't limited. And look what he says about those individuals. He said, "Listen, I've heard of your faith," 15, "I also heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Now notice what this caused Paul to do. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Wow. He didn't say how great they were on teaching and preaching and their doctrine. And the church was solid and the church was steadfast and the church was laboring. Yeah, all those things we'll find in other places and other epistles. But Paul says, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the way you treat one another, the way you care for one another, he says, I don't stop thanking God for you, and I continually pray for you because of your love unto all the saints. How's your love? To all, listen, I'm not going to say all the saints that you know in other places, in other areas. How's your love to the saints here this morning? Does it need improving? Is it visible? Has anyone heard of your love towards the saints? Has anyone seen your love on display? You know, love isn't just a word, and we'll look at that in 1 John chapter 3 later, or 1 John. It's not enough just to tell people you love them. Try that with your spouse, especially if it's the man not showing the woman love. Amen? They want to know you love them, right? It's not enough to just tell them you love them. That's how women are. But Christianity, our love should be displayed. Our love should be evident. Our love should be shown. How is it? How is our love displayed for the Lord to His saints? Hebrews said, you showed it as unto me. It was done unto me. And Paul said, I thank God, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Because of their care and concern and love for the saints. Listen, how are we going to love the world? How are we going to love our neighbor? How are we going to love others? How are we going to love the lost if we don't love each other? How can we? Our love must be unto all the saints. Our love must be visible. Our love must be evident. What a great love. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I thought about the Christian life and what is it known for? What are some characteristics of the Christian life in the church? In believers together. And Hebrew lays it out very clear. It's our care for one another, our love and concern for each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, here we go. Look at this model church, this great group of believers and samples for us, for you and I to follow, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Remember Hebrews, working and laboring. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take our time in order to show the saints of God that you and I love each other, that you and I care for each other. Is it natural? It's not natural for me. I don't think it's natural. Maybe it is natural for you to show that you love one another. Maybe it's natural for you to say it. Or think that you do. But in all reality, when has it been heard of? When has it been on display? When has it been evident in your life that you showed love for the saints? He says, look what he says. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Hebrews said the Lord knows He's going to reward us. He's not unjust. He's not unrighteous. He sees our labor of love. He sees our work. He sees our ministry to the saints. And Paul said, I thank God for these believers at Thessalonica. I thank God for them. They're an example. They're a good witness. They're a good testimony. Why? Because of the way they treat each other. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Can our love for one another increase? Has your love for the saints decreased? Faith and love, they go together. Your faith in God and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be evident by your love for other believers. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13, look at verse 34. Here's the Lord speaking. John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13, look at verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Wow. That's some pretty big shoes to fill. Love one another like Jesus Christ has loved us. Really? Okay. Next verse, Lord. "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Listen, verse 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by how good you preach." "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by how much Bible you know." Don't say that. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by how good of a teacher you are." I don't think so. You know what he told those disciples? You want to know how the world's going to know that you're my disciples? Not by how many people get saved. Not how many times you tell somebody you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not how many times you preach. Not how many times you teach. Not how many people you disciple. None of that. He says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." How? "If ye have love one to another." That's pretty plain. It wasn't their oratory skills. It wasn't their theology. It wasn't their doctrine. It wasn't their capabilities. It wasn't how talented they were. It wasn't how much they did for the Lord. It wasn't how much they preached publicly. It wasn't how many people got saved or how many people got healed. The only way the world was going to know that they were his disciples was by their love toward one another. How are we doing? Can we improve? I can. Have you shown anybody that you love them? I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about the saints at Heritage Bible Church in Tarrytown. How have you ministered? Jesus Christ, our example, our Savior, said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." Christ, the greatest example, the greatest example of humility and obedience and Christian character, is encapsulated in the life of Jesus Christ and the life of the Apostle Paul when they humbled themselves and served one another. Their love, their care, their concern, their compassion was evident. I see all the time around this country these churches having leadership conferences and all these books and material on leadership. When do they have a servant conference to serve and to love and to care? How? For one another. He said, if you want them to know that you walked with me, that you talked with me, that you have been given authority and power for me, and that you are my disciples, he said, where is your love? I don't care how much you say it. I don't care how much you claim it. I don't care how much you've accomplished in the Christian life. I don't care how great of a preacher you are, how good you can articulate God's word. If you don't have love one for another, it's problematic. And you know where it begins? Right here. In these chairs. Our love and care and concern for one another. It shouldn't be, "See you next week." It shouldn't be, "Next time." We should be closely knit together as a family, as saints, as those that are in Christ. Y'all don't want to have church like they did in the New Testament. They met daily. Daily. Amen. Daily. We have a hard enough time two times a week for a couple hours. I'm not being condescending. I'm being honest. But you know what they had? They had love for one another. They had care. You know the book of Acts? They sold everything and they divided. Y'all want to do that? I don't have much, so I don't mind. Some of y'all got some money. Y'all want to just, we throw it all in together and then we disperse it evenly? I'm not a communist, but you want to follow Acts 9? Acts? But you know what they had? They had love for all the saints. When somebody needed something, you know what Paul said over there in Philippians? He said, I think it's Philippians, maybe we'll look at it another time. He said, he not only ministered to my needs, but he ministered to my wants. When's the last time you asked somebody, is there anything that you want? It's hard enough for you and I to try to minister to what somebody needs, their necessities. But is there anything you want? Within reason. Not a new boat, not a new Tahoe. But Jesus Christ told those disciples, he said, if you want them to know that you're my disciple, if it's conditional, if ye have love one for another. Ephesians says, I've seen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Your love unto all the saints. How are we doing? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I told you the joke was much needed. 1 John chapter 3. God help us to improve our care and concern for one another and our love for the saints. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. No, verse 13. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Well, that'll preach right there. If the world hates you. Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard if the world hates you as a Christian. The world should not embrace you, love you, congratulate you. He says it's no surprise that the world's going to hate you. He said it hated Christ. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love God. The brethren. Love the brethren. You remember when you first got saved? Can y'all remember that far back? And how much you loved preaching and how much you loved teaching and how much you loved going to church and how much you loved fellowshipping with the saints and how much you loved talking about the Bible and how much you loved helping other Christians. You know how that was when you first got saved? The love for the brethren. The love for a new family and, man, I'm saved and, man, I'm a new creature, and here's God's people. And then a second week later, you find out the lady sitting across from you was a devil in the church. Yeah, amen. The Christian has four enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the brethren. But this is about loving the brethren. We'll edit that part out. But you remember the first time you got saved, you thought all of God's people were just so innocent, and you loved each other, and you loved the saints. How are you doing today? How are you doing with your love and care for God's people? Look what he says. He says in verse 15, for whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. All right, here we go. Hereby perceive we, verse 16, the love of God. All right, here's the love of God on display. Want to see God's love? You want God's love? You want to see what God did to show us that he loved us? Show the world that he loved us? Because he laid down his life for us. This isn't just death. This isn't just the crucifixion. Jesus Christ lived a crucified life before he was ever crucified. Serving, ministering, helping, doing good. The Bible says Jesus Christ went about what? Doing good. Galatians tells us to let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Our Christian life ought to be exemplified in our love and care and doing good for one another, for each other, for the saints, for all the saints. And he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for what? The brethren. You know what that takes? That takes real, genuine care and concern for another Christian in order for you to lay down your life for them. Can we? Are we capable? If God said it, it's a possibility. How are we doing? How is our love being shown? We can see we have faith in Christ. You're saved and you live a faithful life and you trust the Lord Jesus and you believe the gospel. But what about your love? You can't separate your faith in God and your love from God from your love for man. They go together. And he says, but whoso, verse 17, hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What a powerful question. What a thought-provoking question. How can an individual who has an abundance, who's not lacking, who has the resources, who has the ability and the capability to help someone else, and they see their brother in need, and he shut up if his bowels of compassion from him, how can you say you have the love of God in you when you see another saint, another believer in need, and you have the ability, you have the time, you have the resources to be a blessing, to give aid, to minister, and you don't? Wow. Is there any time in your Christian life where someone needed something? Groceries, gas, a meal, a Bible, you name it. And you had the ability and the opportunity and you squandered the opportunity. The question is, how dwelleth the love of God in you? We'll close with this. We've got faith. You trusted Christ. You're saved. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got faith in His Word. You've got faith in His promises. You put your faith in the gospel. That's great. That's commendable. But how is your love unto all the saints? Do we treat each other like co-workers? Do we treat each other? I'm preaching to myself. I preach this to myself before I preach this to you. I had to go through the passages. I had to pray over the passages. I had to expound on the passages and compare Scripture with Scripture. How are we doing as a church with our faith and our love? You cannot separate them. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to produce love for God's people, for believers. It's not enough to say it. 1 John says, let us not love in word only. Let us love in deed and in truth. When is the last time you have showed another Christian, a believer here, a saint here, that you genuinely cared, you were genuinely concerned for them in any fashion? Think about it. Think about it on your way home. Think about it this week. How can you give aid to somebody who needs aid? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Alfred, would you close us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the rest of the day, please?